Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got David Hoisington on the show for the first time. David is from Warren, Pennsylvania. He's a walleye tournament pro, and recently he won the NWT on Lake Erie. It was the fourth and final regular season stop here in 2025. He is qualified for the championship on Green Bay in September. But we're going to talk all about Lake Erie, and we're just going to get to know David in this interview. He's a great guy and a very passionate walleye angler. So another great one here. Let's get into it. David Hoisington. We're all looking to have the ultimate edge on the water, but how do we get there? When it comes to fishing rods, JT Outdoor Products has you covered. Their technique-specific rods are engineered and tested by tournament professionals to give you the competitive advantage on the tournament trail or the extra edge to the passionate everyday angler. They're hand-built in Farmington, Minnesota. With the highest-grade carbon fiber blanks and the finest componentry, JT rods are ultra-lightweight, incredibly sensitive, and built for performance. Whether you're after walleye, bass, pike, or panfish, they have every species covered. Their rods deliver precision, durability, and unmatched feel. Don't settle for ordinary. Fish smarter with JT Outdoor Products, where performance meets perfection. Visit them at jtodp.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Do yourself a favor, check them out today. Summit Fishing Equipment brings technology and innovation together to improve fishing equipment design and usability. Their forward-facing sonar shuttle transducer pole combos are designed to be used year-round. With just a few accessories you'll find on the website, you can mount the shuttle and transducer pole right in your boat, making the transition from ice season to open water incredibly simple and cost-effective. Check out everything they've got at summitfishingequipment.com. Use code SUMMIT10 at checkout for 10% off all orders online. That link is in the description of this podcast. Zuloff Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zuloff Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zuloff Construction at their website, zuloffconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. New fishing regulations on Mille Lacs Lake in Minnesota have walleye anglers excited. To plan your next fishing vacation over there, check out the lodging options over at Chalet on Mille Lacs. They have all you need and more. I'm talking about multiple private shorelines, including a back channel where you can safely park your boat overnight, a great feature you're not going to find everywhere on the lake. There's also a game room, high-speed Wi-Fi, you're minutes away from the casino and golf course. The indoor and outdoor amenities of the Chalet on Mille Lacs epitomize comfort and convenience with 5 bedrooms, 3 baths, that's 2 masters, a large kitchen, all the indoor amenities that are perfect for large groups or multiple families. This cabin comfortably sleeps 8. You can add more if you like. Read the reviews online from past guests on the website or book directly at chaletonmillelacs.com. That's chaletonmillelacs.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. I need to learn more about you. And so I need your story. Where are you from? Where did you grow up fishing? Where does this whole fishing career of yours start at the beginning? Go ahead.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me on. So I'm from Warren, Pennsylvania, small town out in the Allegheny National Forest, gorgeous area. I started fishing when, my cousin Dan Huber, he's like, hey, you want to go fish in Chautauqua Lake? And I went out and I'm like, sure, let's go have a good time. And we started catching these awesome walleyes, 26 inchers, having a great time. And he got hooked. Then I kept fishing off of his boat. Then I end up my first boat was a river jet boat. And then I end up buying a Ranger. And once I got my 621 Ranger, we started fishing off of my boat, doing tournaments. And my tournament fishing was like, it's just a stress reliever for me. I own a roofing company, and I got like 50, 60 employees. It's just a lot going on. So like when I went out fishing, it was like, I don't even care if I'm really catching a fish. I'm just trying to get out of work, you know? But that slowly turned. And once we started having a little bit of success in like the Ohio Walleye Federation and just some other local tournaments, like, I'm like, maybe we should more seriously. So then I started taking it more seriously, and we won a couple times in 1 year. Then next year we won again. Then I kept moving higher and higher. Then my traveling fishing partner, Andy Travis, who I've always looked up to, him, like Joe Papalea, always trying to beat these guys. And Andy's like, hey, we should fish the National Walleye or the NWT, you know? So I'm like, holy crap, let's do it. You know, I just wanted to do it and travel. So then here we are. So this is my first season fishing the NWT.
And are you fish the whole circuit?
Yeah, fish the whole thing. So yeah, man, the first three tournaments, we were like, where do we drive our boat without hitting bottom, let alone where do we go fishing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then, well, first two tournaments, then we got to Huron. It was like, okay, we got some deep water, you know, we're deep water fishermen. So running around on the Mississippi was crazy, you know, out in Lake Sharp was wild, like, you know, running some skinny water a little bit through there. So getting our butts kicked a little too, you know, in the Mississippi, we've never fished anything like that. So that was a huge learning curve. And I'm actually like, I'm so excited to get back there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious about a few things in your career there. You talk about relatively quick there, going from just casually fishing and jumping in the tournament deal. I'm curious about your style of fishing. Like, where were you fishing the most, even kind of, you know, before you were even really thinking about doing the tournament scene? Like, I want to get a feel for the style of angler that you are and kind of where you were cultivating that stuff.
Yeah. So I guess I started out just trolling lead core on like our Kinzu Reservoir and trolling lead core on Chautauqua Lake and catching really nice fish. Then every now and then we'd go out on, you know, Lake Erie, and it's Erie's just been getting better and better. But, you know, once Active Target came out, I'm a Lowrance guy, you know, I started using that for like trolling. So I was like putting three ounce. Sometimes when we went to Lake Oahe, see, I was snapping an 8 ounce snap weight on our lead core and like really just, or braid, and really just trying to use forward facing sonar for trolling. Then, you know, it was like once these NWT guys started, you know, winning Lake Erie tournaments, like Hoyer winning them, I'm like, I got to put this thing on the front now. So once I really transitioned to like, you know, our whole team of like, hey, I like, everybody still wanted to keep trolling and stuff. And I thought, I'm like, I'm just thinking I got to get up on the front of the boat and start using this thing. So then it was the struggle from there, you know, like I always tell everybody, like, don't worry about catching a fish, worry about boat control, you know, and worry about what's a walleye, what's not a walleye. So then we did a two years on the Ohio Walleye Federation. And first year we were getting close, you know, sitting on the front using Active Target. Then the second year, like, we just started winning. And that's when it was like, all right, I think I got this down. Then even when I was practicing, I'm always like, you know, just studying the fish, and I gained so much more respect for like the fish that I'm catching. You know, you'll look at them, you can see the size, you can, you know, basically name them before you can try to catch them. And that's when I'm like, I got a deeper appreciation for fishing. So then I think I went all in and really got passionate and started taking tournaments serious. And that's when, you know, basically I joined the NWT.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man. And, you won the recent Erie tournament. It was the last regular season stop for the NWT this year. I want to hear the whole story, you know, the pre-fish and everything. And you talk about, you know, having some, you know, some travel partners. I always like to give love, you know, to the whole squad, right? It's never just completely a one man band. So any of those kind of, you know, pieces to the puzzle that are meaningful, but you know, yeah, I mean, I imagine signing up for the NWT this year, you knew a few of them were going to be those big away games for you. But Erie, were you looking at that one like a little bit differently? I'm sort of curious about like that whole, like the whole mindset and planning, even before like pre-fish started. Like, where does the story begin here?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was kind of like the deciding factor. Like, hey, we're coming back here. Like, to our home lake. But like whenever I go to Lake Erie, I go with my buddies and I tell my wife, I'm like, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. We're going to come back and fill the freezer. And like, you know, me and four of my buddies jump on our boat. I got my shuttle out back and I'm sitting up front. And I got one of my friends, Jameson Curtis. Every time I stand up from my seat, he sits down on the front mount, starts running it. And he's not even a fisherman. He's a hunter. But so like that kind of gave us like the go ahead, like, hey, we should do this. And it's not like, I think I fished one tournament on Lake Erie and that was out of Cleveland. No, it was actually out of Lorain. So it's not like I had a ton of experience on Erie. I actually, to be honest with you, I get seasick. So like, I'm always like going to Erie when it's flat. And finally, like I got the, whatever it is, like the scopolamine, or I'm probably not saying that right, the patch behind my ear, and I don't get seasick now up to like 3 or 4 footers. So it kind of gave me like, all right, I can do this. Then Andy Travis, my traveling partner, like he's fished the Lake Erie Walleye Trail, won tournaments there. He's just took second place in the Sunrise Shootout. It was a troll only tournament. He won another jigging tournament this year on Erie. Like the, whenever I go fishing in these tournaments, I'm like, I just want to beat Andy, you know? So if I'm beating Andy, I'm probably up there. But we also thought we had some home court advantage, you know, so start of the pre-fish, we're like, all right, we got some home court advantage. I fished Barcelona like crazy, you know, but then the lake turned over, like right when we went up there, I think it was the day before we started fishing, the lake turned over. So we're like, okay, well, we're not fishing there. So now instantly I'm fishing new waters. And luckily, well, the lake was completely flat. So like, yes, I can go fish new waters, but so can all the pros. So the whole time coming up here, I'm like, man, I hope the lake's 2 to 3 footers. These guys can't run around. We have home court advantage, you know, but it was the opposite. So I'm like, whatever, just have a good time. Let's go fishing. And day one, I was fishing some shallow stuff in Buffalo, kind of crossing some stuff off the list. And I was coming back by the Canadian border. And I was actually fishing on the front in like 3-foot waves. And, you know, I was kind of feeling it a little bit. It was getting late in the day. And then all of a sudden I came up. I was just getting ready to be like go back in the boat launch. And my screen lit up with bait, like smaller bait up top. I'm sure they were like emerald shiners or whatever, some kind of bait up top. Like, but they were everywhere from like 10 to 30 feet. There were clouds of bait. I was like, holy cow. And caught a 5-pounder there. Then I'm like, I just kind of like wrote it off because I'm like, this lake here, there's bait everywhere. So fish for like two or three more days. And the only program I put together that was consistent was like, okay, get up, drive around at like, I was driving at like 30 to 38 miles an hour, marking bait up top. Then I was marking smelt on the bottom. Then whenever I saw like a nice, you know, fish mark above the smelt in the thermocline, I would like mark it, turn around, fish it, catch like a 5.5 or 6-pounder. But it was like, it wasn't like I could stop there and catch like 2 or 3 of them. You know, I just struggled to catch like 3 5- to 6-pound fish in a row. And I'm like, in the tournament, I'm going to be so anxious and revved up. I can't just see myself like driving around, marking fish and stopping. So I kind of panicked. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about this big bait spot. So I just started driving, and I think I drove like 25 miles like along the Canadian border. And finally, I like the whole way there, like I marked like some normal bait. Then right when I got to the spot, the screen just loaded up, like just black. It was like all blue of bait, you know? So I got off throttle, put my front mount down, looked around, and I don't know why I did this, but I immediately called Andy. I'm like, dude, I found the spot. I'm like, this is it. This is going to be consistent. I didn't even make a cast yet. So then I looked over and I saw like this big walleye come up, and it just like slowly like fed on this bait. It just looked like she was swimming with so much confidence. Like, I don't have to dart fast to catch this bait. I'm a big girl, like, you know? And so I looked at it, I cast it at it, caught it. It was like my first 7-pounder. It was like, I think it was like 7.4 pounds or something. Caught that, like I hung up the phone and caught that fish with Andy, with, you know, from Andy talking to him. Then made another cast, was like 6.5-pounder. Then I made another cast, was like 5.5-pounder. And I'm like, I'm out of here. I called Andy. I'm like, I just want you to come over here and look at it, because I hate fishing other people's spots. Like, I want to go at least check it and feel it and know what it looks like and know what these fish are doing. So then I was actually, we weren't really fishing with the Willow Creek Sportsman Club guys. They're another club like next to us from Bradford, but like, we're rooting for them. I'm rooting for us, or they're rooting for us. And right when I left that spot, I saw Grant, who took fifth place, like, awesome job. He actually stopped right on that bait. And I'm like, man, those guys are probably fishing on this. So I told Andy, I'm like, I'm going to drive this whole freaking lake and look for another big bait pod. So I actually drove from, like, I was probably, I don't know, 13 miles from Buffalo. I drove all the way to Barcelona, like, had Shane drive my truck back from the Cattaraugus launch all the way and pick me up from Barcelona. I just went nuts, like, scanning the lake at like 30 miles an hour and never really found something. So I asked the guys, are you going to be fishing there? And it sounded like they were. And I'm like, well, we got nothing else. And so tournament day, I expected them to be there. And I show up, like, oh, I guess I don't want to skip this part of it. Like, first the tournament day, I'm up on plane and it's pretty flat. We're running hard. And all of a sudden my motor just starts bogging down. I'm like, what the heck, dude? I actually fished off my business partner's boat. He's got a 24 Vexus with a 350 Suzuki on it. My Ranger doesn't have trim tabs, and so his does. And, you know, he let me use his boats on these big bodies of water. But I'm like, what the heck, dude? This thing's the most reliable thing. So I was panicking and freaking out. I'm like, you know, feeling bad for my co-angler. I don't even know if we're gonna make it to the spot. But anyways, made it to our spot, and like, I don't know what happened, but my active target, my transducer on the front was like sideways, like crooked a little bit, and I didn't catch it. So I'm casting at these walleyes. I can't see my jig. Like, my boat's not running right. I'm like, dude, what is going on? Like, this is supposed to be fun. I just heard my grandpa's voice saying, like, go have fun. You know, hearing my cousin saying, go have fun, and I'm not having fun. So finally, I hate to admit it, but it was like probably 45 minutes of me casting and like not like being off by like 10 or 15 feet. I pulled the front mount up and I'm off. Like, so I'm smacking my transducer, getting it straight. I'm like, this is why you don't win tournaments, dude. You know? I'm like, but so finally I'm settled in. There's like 3-4 boats in the area, but like, not as many as I thought. Didn't see the Bradford guys there. So I'm like, cool, let's just go fishing, have a good day. Then literally once I got everything straightened out, my co-angler, Andy Bentz, who like, can't wait to talk about him. He's like, just go ahead, man, go fishing and look over. And I see this freaking hog. I'm like, oh my gosh, like this thing looks like a giant. So I casted on it, went right to its nose. And boom, just grabbed a hold of it like it was nothing, set the hook. And I'm like, this thing didn't budge. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is big. I'm like, let's land this thing. And it like came right up to the boat. Like she wanted to come in, netted the thing. I freaked out. I'm like, dude, we just got a donkey, you know? So we threw it in the box and I'm like, keep fishing. And I told him, like, if you know how to run the scale, just measure it up or weigh it up. And he yelled up to me, it's like 8.8 pounds. I'm like, oh my gosh, dude. So, we end up measuring, it was 30 and a half incher. And, I really think that's a 9-pound fish because I think my scale was reading low for some reason. So anyways, I kept hearing Tom Wynn's voice in the back of my head. Like, I was like, fish patient, don't like overcast on these things. So whenever I saw the next big mark, like I really, this is kind of the key, I feel like, to the tournament, was like, I just took my time and I just really like, I just moved back and forth with my transducer, just like scanning this thing from head to tail, making sure it was like a 6-7 pounder. And I don't know how many fish I like drove past thinking like, dude, I probably shouldn't have done that. But the first like, 3 fish of the day on day one, it was like a no doubter. I'm like, here's another one casting on it. I think my next fish was like a 7-pounder. I did it again, same thing, like 15 minutes. I usually have my trolling motor on 10, but I was just moving like so slow, like because I looked at these big walleyes and they were just moving like so slow in the water column. I'm looking at 3-4 pounders darting around, you know, attack and bait. But these big girls were just like taking their time, moving everywhere. And so I put the first three fish in the boat. I think it was like, I'm going to say 9, 7, 6.5. Then I'm like, I told Andy, like, I was like, dude, I don't let me forget. You got to catch two. You know what I mean?
I'll interject there because we should talk a little bit about the rules that we haven't yet so far. Is you had to fish American water,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, you had to fish New York water. Yep.
Okay. Oh, it had to be just New York water.
Yeah, and you couldn't go into PA. Yep.
Ah, okay. Okay. So yeah. If I look at the map, that kind of shows me. Now, if you're looking at a big map of Lake Erie, that looks like a tiny little sliver, but that's still quite a bit of water.
Yeah. It was fish big. Like all practice, we're like, dude, I haven't seen anybody. But it was like smoky at practice, you know, like from the wildfires or something, you know. So you couldn't really see that far. There wasn't a lot of wind blowing things around. But then you could only put 8 fish in the box and you're weighing your 5 best. So,
did two of the weigh fish have to be co-anglers or just 2 of the 8?
2 of the 8. So like once I caught 6 fish, I was done. I couldn't fish anymore. So I wanted to make sure that like I didn't throw 6 fish in there, then he had to cast. So like I could even set the hook and let him reel in. So like this is where like Andy, like he was up there casting with me, and I think he was just such a nice guy. I don't think I told him like cast, you know, 2 feet to the right of me, because sometimes these walleyes were in like 2 or 3 packs. There might be, you know, 2, 5, 6 pounders in there. So I'm like, you know, it's a good chance we can double up here and we'll figure out the net job. But he was just like such a nice kid that I don't think he wanted to like get tangled with my line. Then like once we put like 3 hogs in the box, he was like, dude, I'm just going to keep, you know, putting the worm on your hook and keep you going. So like if I like looked at a fish and set the hook and I knew it wasn't like a 5 or a 6, like if it was like a 4.5 pounder, Andy's like, give me the rod. I'm reeling in, make another cast. Like he was just like keeping me fishing so hard. And that just like motivated me big time just to like,
absolutely.
I get chills talking about that, you know? And like we had a system, like he like held me a rod high. I like gave him a rod low. Like we didn't even talk about it. We just had this system down. And he just kept fishing. Then like, I think it was like our 4th or 5th fish. I'm like, dude, this looks like a good one. I'm like, if I get this thing, like I wanted him to catch an 8-pounder. It wasn't like, okay, I think this is 5. I'll let you reel in the 5. I'm like, dude, next hog fish I'm seeing, you're getting it, you know? So yeah, I set the hook and I think he did, I think it was like somewhere around a 7-pounder, and he ended up, we weighed one of his fish, but we, before like I didn't want to like be bossing him around, so I tried to boat flip like a 4.5 pounder, and I like grabbed the leader and I snapped the leader, lost the jig, and Andy's like, dude, just let me take care of this. And so he tied a jig on for me, and I was in the back of my head, I'm like, I got a big bag, I should probably make sure I tie the knot and check the leader and stuff. But he's a good fisherman, you know what I was doing. But I think the leader was a little like, just from like snapping, it was a little beat up. So anyways, I see another fish and cast on it, set the hook, dude, line breaks. And I'm like, like, this is why you don't win tournaments. Like, and I thought, I'm like, Dewey wouldn't have done this, you know? But I'm like, dude, we're having a good day. So I'm like, instantly, I'm like, Andy, give me another rod. Like, I'm not going to like freak out about this. Like me and my cousin talk about this. If I ever netted a fish wrong and we lost the winning fish, we never yell at each other on the boat. It's like, it's a rule of ours. Like we're here for a good time.
That's a good rule. Not here to
ruin a relationship over fishing. Like stupid. So didn't even say anything to him. Like, dude, give me another rod. He gave me another rod, and I had to chase this fish down. So I was like following it, chasing it down. And I'm like, it's a 5 or a 6 or something, you know? So ended up, I cast it on this thing and it went down there, and I had to like cast 3 or 4 times on it. Wouldn't go. I almost left it, cast it on again. Boom. I hooked it. And I'm like, this is the fish, you know? And he's like, he thought it was like, this was another hog. And we netted the thing. It's got my jig in its mouth. It's got, you know, my jig with a worm in its mouth. And we ended up weighing that thing. I think it was our smallest fish. I think it was like a 5'9" or something. So it was just a cool story. And after I landed that, I'm like, I'm like, this, like, first off, I was thinking in my head, this is why you don't freak out. Like, I'm in business. Like, I have like 50 employees. Like, when something goes wrong, it's like, it's just adversity. How are you going to overcome it? Like, get just work twice as hard and fix it, you know? So it was just a special moment. I've never hugged someone that I just met 2 hours ago. So me and Andy were freaking out hugging, and
that's cool.
Yeah. But, to finish off day one, it was like, I thought we had like 34 pounds in the box. And I'm like, Andy, like, I can't ask for much more than this. And like, the last thing I want to do is be that guy that's running back and my motor bogs down to 20 miles an hour and I'm a half hour late. So it was like 12:30, and I'm like, dude, let's fish till one. And let's just take a glory ride back. And so I'm scanning around, and I'm just like kind of dreaming in my head thinking, man, I cannot believe this is happening. Like, I knew the fish were there because Shane was telling us, he's like, you guys just caught 33 pounds there in like 2 hours. And it's like, you just have these thoughts as a rookie in your head, like, yeah, but you know, Dewey's out there, you know, like, all these big pros are out there, you know, it's like, they're going to find something else, you know? And, so like some doubt was going through my mind, but anyways, I was like, I'm gonna fish for another hour. And I just started scanning around, and I'm like, I'm sure I could stretch this out for another 15 minutes. And it was like 25 minutes in, and I look over and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a giant. I told Andy, I said, get up here, watch this. I want you to watch this. So I cast it on it. I cast it, and it wouldn't go. I'm like, oh my gosh, this big girl, like, she's smart. She doesn't want to do this. Just kept casting like 5 or 6 times, jigging a worm, couldn't get going, changed weights, did everything. Then I'm like, dude, give me that jigging wrap. So I cast it on and just tried getting a reaction bite. And I'm not a reaction bite fisherman. I'm terrible at it. And I'm sitting there popping right by its face. Wouldn't go, but she like started darting around a little bit. She just like wasn't super into it, you know. But I felt like I got her blood pumping a little bit. And I'm like, so I set that rod down, got that jigging crawler, threw it in. And I threw it like 5 feet past her head and dragged her right in front of her face. And she just turned up and grabbed it. And I'm telling you, I set the hook, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I knew this thing was, I thought it was bigger than the first one I caught. So ended up landing that thing. It was like 8.4 pounds, and we just lost it. And like, it was on the front of the deck of the boat, and it was flopping around. And like, I think Andy wanted to like hug me, and I like grabbed the net, and I almost like ran him over. I'm like, get this thing in the back of the boat before it flops out. And so then we were like freaked out, and that was our 8th fish. So we were done either way. And we're like, let's go back. And for some reason, I still think I thought I had 34 or 35 pounds after that one. Like, I'm telling you, I can't wait to recalibrate my scale. Something was up. So we just got to have the glory ride back for day one, you know, and we sat there and it was just cool. We just broed out. We just talked about life and, you know, I'm really excited for him. He's getting a new, you know, and a newer boat and stuff. So we just kept talking, and it was such a good time. So that was the end of day one.
We're all looking to have the ultimate edge on the water, but how do we get there? When it comes to fishing rods, JT Outdoor Products has you covered. Their technique-specific rods are engineered and tested by tournament professionals to give you the competitive advantage on the tournament trail or the extra edge to the passionate everyday angler. They're hand-built in Farmington, Minnesota. With the highest grade carbon fiber blanks and the finest componentry, JT rods are ultra lightweight, incredibly sensitive, and built for performance. Whether you're after walleye, bass, pike, or panfish, they have every species covered. Their rods deliver precision, durability, and unmatched feel. Don't settle for ordinary. Fish smarter with JT Outdoor Products, where performance meets perfection. Visit them at jtodp.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Do yourself a favor, check them out today. Summit Fishing Equipment brings technology and innovation together to improve fishing equipment design and usability. Their forward-facing sonar shuttle transducer pole combos are designed to be used year-round. With just a few accessories you'll find on the website, you can mount the shuttle and transducer pole right in your boat, making the transition from ice season to open water incredibly simple and cost-effective. Check out everything they've got at summitfishingequipment.com. Use code SUMMIT10 at checkout for 10% off all orders online. That link is in the description of this podcast. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting
and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area
with over 40 years of combined experience.
They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zuloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zuloft Construction at their website, zuloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast.
New fishing regulations on Mille Lacs Lake in Minnesota have walleye anglers excited. To plan your next fishing vacation over there, check out the lodging options over at Chalet on Mille Lacs. They have all you need and more. I'm talking about multiple private shorelines, including a back channel where you can safely park your boat overnight, a great feature you're not going to find everywhere on the lake. There's also a game room, high-speed Wi-Fi, you're minutes away from the casino and golf course, the indoor and outdoor amenities of the Chalet on Mille Lacs. Epitomize comfort and convenience with 5 bedrooms, 3 baths, that's 2 masters, a large kitchen, all the indoor amenities that are perfect for large groups or multiple families. This cabin comfortably sleeps 8. You can add more if you like. Read the reviews online from past guests on the website or book directly at chaletonmilax.com. That's chaletonmilax.com. That link is in the description of this podcast.
What's the setup? Are they suspended? How deep is it? Are you seeing fish on the bottom? You know, what were some of the triggering qualities? You know, talking about the bait you're using, the jig and crawler, was there anything, you know, a full crawler, half crawler, was there anything that you kind of had to do from a decision-making perspective to like be, you know, in the, you know, the best possible chance to get these bites? I'm just sort of curious about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, I mean, in the springtime on Lake Erie, you can catch these things in like 20 to 30 foot of water in structure, you know, and that's such a fun time to get them. But in the summertime, they just move out and suspend and they just slowly keep working out to deeper water. Like, I'm no expert at this stuff. This is where like Andy needs to take over. But just from fishing up there, you know, so much in the last couple of years, like, you know, where I was fishing, like you could have went out to 154 feet of water, you know, the deepest part of where we're in New York fishable waters and catch them. So, and there was a thermocline at like 55 feet of water. And it seemed like my spot, I was fishing like 62. So I didn't know if these bigger fish, you know, they had their bait right there. They could almost go down to bottom and kind of feel safe and hide a little bit and still be near that thermocline. But I really think that's what made my spot. I would have really thought that like smelt would have had to, you know, been a determining factor of like where these big ones were staying. But I think that ball of bait was just so huge that they hung out there. And I was using the Widowmaker jig head. And day one, the wind wasn't so bad. The waves weren't too bad at all. So I was using like 5/8 and 3/4 quite a bit. And I was just using a St. Croix Legend Tournament mid jig rod. I think it's a 7'3" medium action with like medium extra fast action. And still I didn't have 3 of those rods. The other one I was using was like a 7'1". But same style of rods. Like, I'm not too detailed with rods. Like, the funny thing about like me is like, I ask Andy and Joe or Andy and Shane, I'm like, hey, this is what I want to do. What should I buy? Like, I'm not that detailed fisherman. I'm like, just get me up on the front seat and let me go find these things and I'm going to catch them, you know? But yeah, jig and a crawler. So a lot in practice, it stinks throwing a jig and a crawler, like in practice, because you go through so many of them. So in practice, I would throw like, same jig, same Widowmaker jig, get it, just a heavy 3/4, 1 ounce jig. With a, like a 4-inch, twitch tail, plastic and I would throw that and I would catch them, you know, but it just, the closing ratio, the best it was on a jig and a worm. And I knew that going into it. So I knew I was going to be throwing a jig and worm on the tournament, but, even some, like we did get some bigger fish on a jig and wrap in practice, but I just knew that's not me. That's not my style of fishing. Like, I'm a finesse fisherman. I'm going to get that fish to go with a jig and a worm. So,
right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And, you're referencing, you know, buffalo. like from Dunkirk. I mean, how far of a drive is that in a boat? Like, what is? I'm just sort of curious about the logistics of all this. Do you ever think about having to save fish for tomorrow, or how does that sort of, like, getting towards the end of day one, like where does day two start to, you know, cross your thought process?
Yeah. So yeah, good stuff. So basically, my spot, I had a 24-mile run. I was running towards Buffalo. It was right on the Canadian border. And like, I was freaked out because that ball of bait was right on the border. Like, I kept panicking in the tournament. I'm like, oh crap, I got to make sure I'm not like drifting into Canadian, you know, into the Canadian border and get DQ'd, you know. But I was never like that close to the Canadian border. I always like stayed away just so I didn't screw up. But yeah, so when I checked it the day before day before the tournament, like, I noticed some of the bait was like, the big ball of bait wasn't there as much. Then like when I pulled in there day one, I was like, oh crap, like there's a lot less bait here. What's going on? But what I noticed was like, it almost like dispersed the fish a little bit. So I really started widening out, you know. It was like almost like if there's such a thing on Erie, like a spot on the spot that was holding a ton of big fish. That's what it was. But then when that big bait ball like left, it like I thank God, like I just got lucky. And these big girls were just roaming around, you know. So that was a blessing. Then like, yeah, going into day two, I was like, well, I know. This was the best day I've had, day one. I'm like, I wasn't even thinking like if there was going to be fish there or not, because I really didn't have a great backup plan. I'm like, I'm just going to go drive around and mark fish to try to catch 5-6 pounders. And yeah, that might work. I wanted to get like 32, 33 pounds. And I thought that would have sealed the deal. So I just kept thinking, like, instead of sitting there freaking out about it, I'm like, my goal was, I just want to go out and have a fun day too. Like, I just want to, when I'm having fun, I fish very well. So I just went out there, and luckily, like, Ashton from Lime Lake Marine, he drove an hour and a half down to like put a new fuel filter in. And I asked Jeff if he could drive my boat on the lake just to make sure it would work. And so that gave me a little bit of confidence. Then, you know, the boat ride was super rough on the way out there, and same thing, the motor started bogging down, but not as bad. And I'm like, whatever, like, if I'm just doing this thing, you know. So we finally made it out to our spot, and, you know, day two, I'm looking around and I'm like, all right, there's a good one. And like, I'm casting on this thing, you know, got that one. The cameraman was in the boat, 6.5 pounder. I freaked out when I caught it, landed it, you know, gave a big like scream.
Yeah.
So then I just went and started doing, I just did my same program, like moving, scanning slow, really examining the fish before I casted. I put 3 6.5 pounders in the box, which I ended up being like 7 pounders, because what I weighed in, there was no way they were 6.5. Then right after that, like, I told myself, like, anything 5 pound 9 ounces, I'm throwing back. Like, I'm going for this victory. So then, like, I caught two fish, like 5.5 pounds, 5.7 pounds, you know, and I'm like, throw it back. You know, I'm sitting on the front and I don't hear the splash yet. And I look back to the co and he's holding it, and him and the cameraman are like looking at each other talking, and he's holding the fish. He didn't want to throw it back. He's like, and I'm like, throw it back, man. Like, we're good. And so then, God, I wish he wouldn't have threw it back. then all of a sudden, like, everything just changed. Like, I scanned around, I could not find any of these big fish. So I like try to expand on everything. I don't know what happened. So I end up catching like another 5 pound 4 ounce fish. And that was my fourth fish in the box. Then like, I just kept looking, and I ended up boxing like a 4.9. Then I was like, so I had 5 fish in the box. And, you know, when I had those 3 6-7 pounders in there, it was like 10 o'clock. And I'm like, I have 4 hours to catch 2 more fish, you know, like, this isn't going to be a problem. Well, it was a problem. So then like, I ended up like just making some runs, doing what I said I didn't want to do, like go scan and trying to catch. I'm like, if I can just catch like a 5.5 pounder to get rid of this 4 pounder in there, like, I'm good. Ended up not doing it and just coming back in. And I felt really bad for my co, because he was super unselfish too. He's like, this day's all about you. Like, I always want to like try to teach people what I know, you know, if that's anything, like just, you know, I want you to cast and all that stuff. But I didn't run two shuttles this tournament just because I didn't want people pinging off of each other. I thought there was going to be a lot more boat traffic in there in our spot. And but anyways, just drove back in and realized I left the door open. Then it was just a nerve-wracking battle, just waiting for everyone to weigh in and stuff like that. So
was there bite windows that were meaningful, like a morning bite that you were trying to capture? Was there any sort of other little subtleties that were sort of factoring into some of your decision-making that way? Or was that, I mean, like, I'm just curious about the fish in itself and like breaking all that down. Were there any these other elements to that that you thought were a factor?
Well, the day prior, day one, I caught most of my fish from 10 to 1 o'clock. Like, actually, I think all of them. I don't think I had a fish in the box. My first one was probably 9:30, just from after my boat and my transducer came coming loose. Like, so I was like, and I even told like the camera guy and my co, I'm like, I've caught big, like my biggest fish came from in the middle of the day. And literally, you can go to Lake Erie, it does not matter what time you go there, these fish are gonna bite. Like, there's like a lot of times, you know, you get to these boat launches and everyone's there at 6 in the morning, and the best time to go to a Lake Erie boat launch is like 8:30 to 9, because these boats have already coming back in with their 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, man limit, and the parking lot's cleared out at 8:30 to 9:30, you know. So no, I wasn't worried about it. I just like, I'm like, I just need to see the fish. I need to see a 5 or a 6 pounder. And like, I end up finding some fish that I thought were 5 pounders, and I would just, they were moving so fast, and I was chasing them on 10, like just trying to get them stop. I'm bombing cast 80-100 feet at them and just doing everything I can just to get hooked up with them. And it was just such a struggle. And I just kept saying, you know, like, enjoy the moment, you know, like, this doesn't come a lot of time, you know, this doesn't happen a lot. And I remember like Isaac Lockett's speech, like, he's been there, you know, multiple times, and like something special has to happen to win an NWT. And I was just like, you know, I was like, I was freaking praying to God. I'm like, just put another 5-6 pounder in front of me. Like, I'll do the rest, you know? And
yeah.
But yeah, it ended up, I mean, I just can't believe it. It ended up working out. Like, that ride back to the boat launch, like, it was a horrible ride. Like, I just felt like I left a door open to Tom and Dewey, and who knows, Hoyer was still in it. Like, all these, there had some big names right behind me. And I'm just like, enjoy second place. I kept saying, like, just don't let this ruin your day. Then I pull up to the boat launch and I see all these people in orange. Like, my roofing company, our colors, black and orange. And my nephews are there running, saying, hey, Uncle D, you know, all that. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I need to put on a fake smile right now. I need to be happy that, you know, my wife and, you know, there's so many people there to support me since they knew I was in first. And I just felt like I kind of let them down and stuff. But the cool part was, is once I started taking the fish out of my live well, I was like, there's no way this thing's a 6.5 pounder. You know, I was like, what the heck? You know, so I like kept throwing them in. I'm like, all right, let's just go do this. And, you know, Dewey weighs, I think it was like 33 pounds, 11 yeah. ounces. And I'm like, and I kept, everybody's like, what do you got? What do you got? I'm like, I think I'm hoping for 29 pounds. And it was just cool. Like, you know, some of the pros like wishing me, you know, like, soak that bag and run up there. I remember like Isaac saying that to me. They're just like, he's like, freaking run, you know? And so I ran up there and I set that bag on the scale, and I looked over and I instantly went to 32 pounds. And I was like, there's no way. Like, oh my gosh. And I just like started like, my co-angler started smacking me, and I'm like, Jeff, like, announce this, dude. And now I'm trying not to give it away, like, build the suspense. And finally I just like couldn't hold it, and I smacked my co, and it was so funny. Jeff just said like 30, you know, he just like got that 3 out and the crowd just went ballistic.
Yeah, because you needed like a high 29s, right? So if it was
30, I needed like 29.10, and I'm like, dude, I'm gonna have 29.8. I threw back like 9-10 ounces out there easy, maybe even a pound. And right when he said like 3, like that came out, the crowd just went freaking berserk. I'm looking out there, I'm like, grown men are crying and stuff. It was just such an emotional experience. And I was just so thankful. Like, I'm so blessed in life. And like, I got a great family. I've done a lot of amazing things, like traveled the world, like doing mission work, been just like so many fortunate things that like, I have so many first world problems, and I've been to third world countries where like people are worrying about their next meal. And like, that is not me. I'm worrying about what time I can go fishing. So I was just like, I just stopped and like took a minute. I'm like, thank God this happened to me. Thank you for just blessing me so much. And I just lived in the moment for a little bit. And I, like, when I celebrated so hard, I like wanted to make sure I shook Dewey's hand. I didn't want to like disrespect him in any way, but it's just like, when you win these tournaments, it's just raw emotion.
Oh yeah. It's chaos. Know? Yeah.
So it was just an honor to do it. And I just still like pinch myself. I mean, that night when I went to bed, I woke up at like 3 a.m. and I got out of my camper. I'm like, looked at the trophy, making sure that this all wasn't a dream, you know?
Yeah.
And just a life-changing moment. Like you can take everything away from me and I'll still be fine. Like, I know where I'm going up the end of midday. You can take the trophy away, but like, you can burn the check and sink the boat, but just knowing that experience, you cannot take it away from me. So I'm so blessed that I had that day, like, to be able to win, and especially in Dunkirk. Like, it's 1 hour and 20 from my house. It wasn't in South Dakota where my family would have to fly out or something. I mean, I would fly my wife out if I knew I was in it, but just super, super blessed, you know. Then all of this stuff that comes with it, and just like, I always say to everybody, like, Andy Travis like deserves this. And I actually like felt like I went up to him, I gave him a hug, and we're both like crying. I'm like, dude, I can't wait till you're here. Like, you deserve this. He's like, no way, dude. This is all you today. You did it, you know? And it was just, it's so cool to win as a team. I'm like, we did this, you know, we did it. And just something that is just amazing, you know? So I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot.
I love it, man. You calibrating your scale probably in hindsight wouldn't have done anything for you, other than maybe on day two you'd have had a little bit, you know, easier emotions. But, you know, think about on day one, maybe if you had such a big bag, you might have took your foot off the gas for that last 15 minutes when you were already contemplating getting your fish back to the scale. You know, think about, you know, would you have stayed 15 more minutes if you thought you had, you know, say 36 pounds or 35 pounds, what you might have had, but then that last big one really put you over. To think that you had in and around 30 pounds on day two after a 37-pound mega bag, and you still got to be nervous. I mean, isn't it just a wild time in walleye fishing that is a thing? Like, oh my gosh, that's just almost like hard to even, it's totally hard to imagine. Now, I mean, I feel like we're burning through this story, but you're hitting all the good stuff. You know, so at no point in time were you ever feeling like there was boat pressure or anything on your spots? I mean, guys were pretty well spread out. Was there any, you know, I don't know. It just seemed like that jig crawler deal was kind of, you know, dominating most of the conversations that people were having, or, you know, the jig and plastic, you know, the casting deal. But it's Lake Erie. There had to have been some guys that were on a trolling bite of some kind. Does that stuff like not even cross your mind anymore?
Yeah, trolling doesn't even cross my mind anymore. But the trollers definitely did better day two. And I mean, me and Andy, like, Andy's one of the best trollers I know. And he was even contemplating like, man, we should be putting our baits in this thermocline and just running through it. And I think he was going to do it, but he just knew that you could only have two rods per person out during the tournament. And, you know, he was on good fish. Then I went and checked his spot like 2 days later, the thermocline like changed and it was an absolute ghost town. So we're like, what the heck? Like, you can literally go to Lake Erie, stop anywhere and put your active target, your forward facing sonar down and look, and you're going to see fish. So when we went back to like his big fish spot, I was just in the area, so I checked it for him. I'm like, I don't even see a fish. He's like, oh my gosh, you know? So, you know, he was like depressed and all that stuff. And we just kept going though. And that's like, you know, to answer your question about like day, you know, what I have, you know, let off the gas on day one, like, you know, I've been winning some tournaments, and Andy's always like on me, like, don't ever let up, keep going, you know, all out till the end, all out to the end. And I just kept thinking that in my head, like, just, and I only had seven fish in the bat, in the box. So I still had one more. It would have been tough to go back in, you know, with only seven fish, but day two, I literally only went back with five fish because I was throwing them out. I was throwing them out and I regretted it. And so, but, yeah, I mean, the other cool thing that I was going to share is like, you know, after I won, it was just like an honor to see like Tommy Kimos, like Keith Cavias and Chase Parsons, like come up. There's like such class acts in this walleye world. And like, you know, sometimes like in my business life, it's like, I never want to hire a jerk, or I never want to do business with some arrogant jerk. You know what I mean? And it's like, sometimes it's like, you know, sometimes you don't want to meet your heroes. You know what I mean? So,
sure.
But everybody I met was just like a total, like they're all human beings. I've talked to them in the other tournaments that I've done. It's like, you know, I'm a rookie, I'm a nobody, but like, it's still, you can go talk to these guys and they're just such great people, you know? And so just having those three, like the kings of the walleye industry, like me and my grandpa used to sit on the couch and watch fishing shows of those guys. And, you know, back in the day, in the mornings and stuff. And, you know, we end up going to the bar restaurant to have some drinks and dinner, and like Hoyer introduced me, you know, NWT Pro, and everyone's like screaming and stuff. And
heck,
like,
yeah,
just the way he talked with me for 5 minutes, and it was great. And then even like talking to Dewey after the weigh-ins and stuff, like just talking with him for 5 minutes, like just top class people. Like I've yet to meet a guy that's someone I wouldn't want to hang out with, you know, on that tour. And like, just like following Dylan, Nussbaum for forever, and like rooting for him and just having him congratulate you. It just means so much to me. But, yeah, I mean, Lake Erie's awesome. Like I just tell everybody, like, get your family out there. Like you can go trolling, you can blind cast, you can just drift with a jig and a worm or a plastic. And like, you can just, you don't need a lot to go out on Lake Erie. Just pick a safe day to go out if you don't have a, you know, a big boat or a big lake boat or something, and go out there and slug them. You know, it's so much fun. And I try to take some of my employees out, and just friends and family getting out up there. It's just, it's a blast. So we're so fortunate to live in a great area. And I'm so fortunate to go to the NWT and go travel out west where I would never go, you know, since I have Mother Erie right here producing fish like this, like caliber that's happening. So
fishing the earlier part of the NWT schedule this year, I don't want to assume anything. Was that the farthest you had traveled? Was that, those are some of the more unique, you know, fisheries that you had been on? I'm sort of curious if there was anything that you were drawing already, you know, just in one season, if there were things that you were picking up on that, you know, that were, that, you know, you were already kind of, you know, skill stacking, and then to eventually then come back onto Lake Erie, like, has there been any learning experiences from some of those away games, that you feel like have made an impact already in any way, shape or form?
Yeah, just like, you know, fishing sharp, like that was a tough fishery. And I went there thinking all I'm going to do is sit up front and jig these walleyes. And I ate humble pie for like the first 3 days. I couldn't even catch a walleye. It was like so embarrassing. Then, you know, Andy's like, well, put the lead core down and you'll catch something. And literally I like put the lead core down. I didn't even have my one rod all the way out, and I got hooked up, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? So like, just different areas, different, like these fish are acting differently, and fishing during the spawn, then it was, everything's just so different. You get like, I love getting my butt kicked because I learn so much every time. Then like the things that you do and don't do, I finally ended up jigging some fish there. I think, I don't even know. I might eat humble pie the whole time, but, and just fishing your first big tournament like this, I had nerves and I was swinging for the fences and made some poor decisions. But yeah, I love it. It's so good. The wildlife there was amazing. And just like end up learning from the pros that what they did and what they were looking at. It's like me and Andy always talk about, like, we need experience on these different bodies of water, you know, like my one fishery at Kinzu, like these fish do not suspend. They're on the bottom on your active target. You're looking for a rock that's moving on the bottom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're like 15 to 18 inches everywhere. So then you go to Erie and you're looking at 24 inches everywhere and they're suspended 30 to 50 feet down. But yeah, just even the whole traveling thing, you know, getting the Airbnbs, loading up your tackle, like it's a lot, you know, and after all this, it's like, you know, the dream for like me and Andy and even Shane is like, you know, we like Andy's in 15th place overall. Our dream was to make the top 40 and cash a check or two, you know, and Andy's cashed two checks in a row. This is my first check I've cashed, you know, and luckily yeah. It was the good one.
Yeah.
But it's cool, you know, it'd be awesome to do this for, you know, I'm going to be doing it for a while, you know, regardless if I won or not. I just enjoy traveling to new bodies of water. But, you know, the dream is like, you know, get some sponsors and I like fishing. Like I'm a business owner and I sponsor little league teams and all this stuff. And like, when I do that, I'm not looking to give my money away, but I'm looking to like be a part of your team. So that's kind of what we're looking for with some sponsors. And thankfully, you know, I've had a couple phone calls and want to do this, you know, pursue it. And so that's kind of the exciting part right now is just moving to the next level. So I'm 20th overall, he's 15th. It's not like this, like Andy's not a fluke, you know, hey, I won one. It could be a fluke. It could not be, but you know, you got to do it 2 days in a row. So, and I did it 2 days in a row.
Yeah. I don't know if there's an argument out there for it to be a fluke, man. When you can't have like 30 pounds a day and cash a check. I mean, that level of competition in that tournament, man, like, yeah, some extraordinary things have to happen to really put you over the top, but you got to be there. Like, you got to be on top of that caliber of fish, man. That is
Yeah, we knew we lit. Could do it. We knew, like, during pre-fish, we're like, all right, we can do 30. You know, we thought 30, 32 pounds was going to do it. Then, you know, I mean, then some guy like me pulls 37. You know, it's always yeah. happens in a tournament. Like,
yeah, it's, yeah, like, it's just never heck? You, right? It's like somebody yeah, it's never always me. Is.
Yeah. I had one tournament where I pulled like 24 pounds and I'm like, dude, no one. And like the last year, 14 pounds won it, and a guy pulls 25, then like third place is 27. And I'm like, or it was 17. And I'm like, this second place curse is on me, you know? And finally I removed that curse a couple of years ago. Then I'm glad I didn't get cursed with it on this one. So,
oh man. Yeah, dude. I mean, that's, yeah, it's yeah. To see those giant bags that the Great Lakes can produce, especially Lake Erie. But this tournament is definitely fun and unique to talk about because you were limited to New York water. It was obviously good enough. I mean, the bags were phenomenal. So the fish were there, you know, but who knows if Canadian water would have been opened up, if the Pennsylvania water would have been opened up. It's like, you know, that stuff's always so tempting, you know, for everybody in the NWT field with those big boats and lots of gas, you know, I mean, it would yeah. have probably spread everybody out even more. And who knows if that would have been even a good thing. You know, it's like, obviously the planets were aligned with that stretch of water, having a lot of big for fish sure. for everybody to be on. And, dang, dude, that is, yeah, man, that is phenomenal. So, like you said, your top 20, your traveling partner is above you yet, like heading into the championship, and that's Green Bay way, right?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, so what kind of experience do you have over there? What are you looking forward to over there?
Yeah, so I fished Green Bay one time for an NTC, and it was just when we were kind of getting to use the forward-facing sonar, and got on some, actually we got our butt kicked for pretty much all week, you know, catching fish. But the last day I caught like a 12 pounder out of there. Then we went to the same spot, you know, tournament day, and got some nice fish. But we didn't know, like, we should have had five rock piles piled up in our, you know, in our spots, and we just kind of, you know, lived and died on that. We didn't know what the heck we were doing, but that Green Bay is awesome. I am so excited to go to Green Bay. Like, I'd love to take my scuba diving gear and like scuba dive in the water so clear and see these fish and stuff. But I'm so excited to go. You're going to need 50 pounds each day. So I don't, that's the rumor. I heard there's going to be some hogs, you know, biting good. So I'm really excited to get up there and just go out there and have fun again. Like, that's what I'm looking forward to. I just want to go up there, have some fun, and see what happens.
I got two young boys, not old enough to listen to this, but maybe someday. They're 3 and 1. And maybe someday they're going to want a walleye fish. What would be some advice that you could give them after this win or just in your career? What would be some good pieces of advice to approach tournament fishing?
Yeah, so, I mean, for young kids, I'd say, man, you know what? Run up and down those banks, fish from shore, cast your butt off, like, just hit it hard. Go hiking. Like, you don't need the big fancy boats. Like, that can be the dream, but let that come in time and just learn reading water, learn, you know, seeing trees or weeds sticking out of water. Go get it. And that's what I would say, like, for everybody out there is like I get more, I was pretty amped when I was winning like smaller tournaments. And like, that is so cool. Like when I see someone winning a local tournament, like, you know, you just did it, be super proud. You don't have to win an NWT to feel like you're something, you know? And at the end of the day, it's just fishing. Like go do it, make memories, make great relationships. Don't ruin relationships over, you know, a first world thing. Like, we're out there to have fun. But yeah, I'm just so excited to, I'm trying to put together some plans to do like a kid event and give away like 100 fishing rods and stuff like that. So I'm really excited to do some of this in the future and, just keep riding on this high and give back as much as we can. So, but yeah, no, I love it. I love seeing the young kids. Like, I've had them, that was kind of my decompressing time. I threw my nephews and their friends on my boat, and, my in-laws own a marina, so I got a free boat launch and put the kids in and went fishing and just caught like, oh my gosh, like 13-inch walleyes. They were dinkers, but they love it, and that's what it's all about. So
you said that you had some anxiety coming in, loading your fish up on day two, and felt like maybe the door was open and you knew you had some fans. You saw that the fans had showed out for you and you thought maybe you let them down, but there's no way. There's no way. You could have showed up. You could have blanked day two, and they were there for you no matter what. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm just trying to convince my wife that I can retire from the roofing business and just take kids fishing all the time. But I don't know if that'll pay enough.
Couple more. Roofing business will be good for a couple more years. You ride it out.
No,
dude, that is so awesome, David. Well, I appreciate the stories and the time.